Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow, I am looking at the bet right now. Somebody put 500,000 large on Dallas.
They're smart because Dallas is going to win.
2.75. They win 1.375 million if it comes in.
Dallas is going to win.
Dallas is going to win the series?
500,000, man. Is it Drake?
Is it? I don't know who put it.
Drake likes to bet. Is it him or Floyd Mayweather?
It says steak. I don't know.
Steak is that's British.
Is it?
That's English, yeah, because steak, I think, is still.
Well, you
that's
can
Everton,
do it.
Right?
You can do it at. Well, I don't know if they'll take. I don't know. John Chill, are you guys going to take a $500,000 bet on the Mavericks right now?
I think everybody's taking the Mavericks. Just to let you know, I'm the 500,000.
It's your bet.
It's me. Yeah, I'll self-admit. It was me to put 500,000 on the Mavericks.
John Chill, CFO, Golden Nugget with us here. Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. We're just two hours down the road for you to go and put your big bet down. I mean, Mattress Mack has put a big bet with you guys. What's the biggest bet you guys have taken so far?
That'd be hard to disclose. I mean, we've taken large ones in six figures before. A lot of time we evaluate what the bet is, and then, you know, we will either take it or, you know, move it. But, we've taken large bets. Yep.
Yeah, and you can always, you know, bet it somewhere else, right?
So. Yeah, and a lot of times it's, you know, you look at it, you know, is it all one-sided? You know, that determines, you know, what we take and things we can
right,
move around and all that as well.
Is it true that you guys, it's not true that you guys are trying to get even money on everything and just take the VIG? You guys want a side sometimes.
Right. Yep. You know, there's sometimes we want one side and, you know, sometimes we do want the middle. You know, a lot of times, you have to evaluate each game and situation and each one is different. So, yeah, we definitely, you know, like right now, we're seeing a lot of Mavs money right now. I think everybody's, you know, getting on the Mavs bandwagon, being that they're, you know, underdogs in the series and the game today. So we're definitely monitoring that right now as far as the handle and the number of bets that are placed on the Mavericks.
What is the series line right now?
It depends. It's plus 220 or 220 for the Mavs, and then minus 210 for Boston right now. I'm sorry, it went down to 175.
Yeah, that's
fine for the Mavs.
I don't like Boston at 2-1.
No. I mean, I think they're too big of a favorite to play that. I mean, you know, if you're looking at the, you know, what the value is, you got to take a shot on the Mavs. I think you got Lucas. You know, I think he's getting healthier by the day. You know, I don't think we've seen the best of him. I know he struggled through the T-Wolves series. He looked better at the end. But as far as series like Mavericks, if you had them in six games, they're 5-1 plus 525. I think that's a great value right there.
You know, one of the things that the bookmakers at casinos and sportsbooks most fear, I know, is getting caught on odds to win. And when somebody plays, you know, you have to be very careful. I know, and I'm guessing there's really algorithms to this where the numbers probably, John, are moving based on what the math tells you. But I know for years there was always a concern about an underdog being, you know, plus 450, and there's a big money play on the plus 450, and then they win a couple on you. All of a sudden, you over swing the numbers, and that's where you get in trouble where those same side will go out and play the other side, and they're guaranteed a big chunk of change. How much of a problem is that now with constantly updating odds in a seven-game series?
Yeah, it's definitely something we evaluate, and you know, you see these numbers changing faster now than they ever have. You know, to adjust to those when you're starting to see trends of going one way, and you're starting to see some of the sharp guys playing a certain way, and you know, we have the ability to change the numbers, I think, faster now than we have before, and look at that, you know. So, I mean, if you look at that old, you know, we talked about it in a couple segments ago, the Nuggets and T-Wolves, I mean, it went from 5-1 one way to 5, you know, within two games, 5-1 the other way to win the series. And, you know, so you definitely evaluate that, you know, each day, each, you know, as money's coming in and handles coming in, we definitely evaluate that to make sure, you know, we're making, you know, a fair assessment to that series or that game. So,
John, chill with us here. What is tonight's game? What's the number?
Right now, we got Boston minus 210, Mavs.
How many points?
6.5. It went up. So it's weird. A lot of people like the Mavs. It's minus 6.5. The over is 215. I kind of like, there's a prop bet out there. I like most threes made by both teams is 15. Well, you could get it at 13 at minus 220. I like 15, and I believe it's up plus 240. And if you just take the big four, Luka, Kyrie, Brown, and Tatum, if Luka does 4, Kyrie gets 2, Brown gets 2, Tatum gets 4, there's 12 there, and you're just hoping for 4 from, you know, the rest of both teams. So I kind of like that little prop bet that's out there. I think today will be probably a big, you know, I think Dallas leads in corner threes. I know Boston defends it well, but I think, you know, 15 threes in this game might, you know, by plus 285 good number right now.
All right, there you have one.
Mm-hmm.
What about Porzingis? I'm not. How good is he going to be when he first comes back here?
He, to me, is the X factor. I don't, you know, nobody knows, and I think that's the big struggle. You know, how he's going to perform. I do like, you know, I think he's going to play early, and right now I think he's first quarter points is minus 3.5 at plus 125. I kind of like him to have 2 buckets in the first quarter. You know, 4 points. He was averaging, I think, 6.5, and he averaged about, I think, 8 points against Boston, and he had 14 in the first quarter, I believe, in their first matchup this year against Dallas. So, so interesting. We'll see how much he plays. I think, you know, no one really knows what, you know, but I think if he's playing well, you know, that it kind of could change the series and see what happens. But I do like that prop bet today. I mean, I think that, you know, he can get 2 baskets in the first quarter.
15 threes for the game for both teams. 3.5 points for Porzingis in the first quarter. I like that, too. Those are good. Those are a couple of good ones.
And I like most of Luka's prop bets. I like him to have a triple-double tonight. That's plus 330. That's another one. I think, like I said, I think Luka's healthy, and I think he's even going to put up bigger numbers than what we've seen in the playoffs.
Wow, that's going to be, you know, I'm kind of the other side of that, John. I kind of think that right away they're going to try to take Luka away, and then Luka's being unselfish. I think it could be the big game for Kyrie. But that's the fun of this to me, and the game by game is trying to figure out what the strategies for both teams. And I really love, in the past, when I used to handicap heavy, I used to love 7-game series like this because you can start to get inside the mannerisms of the coaching staff and how the game flow is changing. And you can start to anticipate, you know, how teams may alter their strategies a little bit. So I always found that people who are, you know, really paying attention, who really truly try to handicap, that the 7-game series gives them, I always felt it was a little bit of an advantage, honestly.
No, I totally agree. For me, like, I look at the first 2 games, and if they've made adjustments, you could tell after game 2, you know, as far as prop bets and that, where the game's going and where, you know, the series is going. I'm with you as well. You know, 7-game series are fun, and you really get into it, you know, after you see what happens in games 1 and 2. And I know the home court, in a way, you know, plays a little bit of a factor, but you can see where, you know, where the trends are starting to, you know.
Kyrie is going to catch it in Boston, that's for sure. I wonder if he's going to try too hard to prove to them that how good he is. You know, because they're going to be on him hard.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's going to be interesting when he's in Boston, what happens there, and see how he responds to that. You know,
that course, is so. We've got John Chill with us. He is the CFO of the Golden Nugget Lake Charles with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You guys catching any hockey action?
Yeah, we're starting to pick up on hockey. I mean, the Stanley Cup starts Saturday. Edmonton, Florida's playing. That's going to be an interesting matchup. Florida, they're the big bruisers. I think Edmonton has a shot if Florida gets in the penalty box. I think Edmonton has scored 4 power play goals in the last out of 5 in the last 2 games. And Florida, if they can play within themselves, they should win the cup. If they start getting in trouble and getting penalties, I think Edmonton has a shot as an underdog to win that series. But I like Edmonton this week, and I like the over. I think with the rest, you see a trend. I think they both were off for a week. You see a lot of pucks going in net in the first game. So they, same thing, kind of like basketball. They'll start figuring out, the offense but usually the first game, I like the over at 5.5.
They got the best player on the ice in Connor McDavid.
Yep.
He was great in the final game against Dallas. If you're a hockey fan, you got to get over to the Golden Nugget and get to the sports book. You guys got to cry. I know you. How was UFC on Saturday?
Oh, it was packed.
It was packed.
Standing room only. I mean, it was crazy.
Poirier in Louisiana. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I got down here about 9, and there wasn't even a seat left. And standing room only all the way back to the bar. So, getting ready for Conor McGregor, I think in 3 weeks.
Yeah, if that goes, there's a question about that now with McGregor. Yeah. So we'll see if it still goes. So we'll see what happens there. What kind of handle do you guys get for UFC fights?
We probably, not to give out a number, we definitely double what we usually do for like NBA and all the other sports. I mean, it's a big draw for us as far as the betting standpoint and visual, with all the TVs we have and all that. But definitely big. It's a big, big handle for us.
That's nice. Yeah. John Chill, every Thursday, giving you some winners for the weekend. Anything else that we need to know about?
No, we got Steve Trevino in Saturday. Another, like I said, busy weekend again. I think Houston schools are out this week, so we'll be busy, in the pool. And it's peak season and it's summer season, so it'll be fun. Like I said, we got the Stanley Cup, we got the basketball playoffs, and football will be rolling around shortly. Maybe we'll start talking about some of that stuff. And we're starting to see a little bit of lines change on the over-unders and season totals. So hopefully we'll talk about that here once the playoffs are over. But, another busy weekend.
Another busy weekend.
Yep, that's it.
John Chill, every Thursday right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John, as always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thank you, guys.
And see I want to talk about the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. I love it. It's Las Vegas right down the road here. It's so much easier than getting to Vegas. It's just 2 hours, a little over 2 hours down the road where you're having a casino, a Vegas casino experience. The hotel is second to none. All of the entertainment you've got all the different restaurants that are there. All Landry's restaurants, just excellent. You want the Vic and Anthony's or you want Landry's seafood, whatever it is. All of the different, they got Italian, everything. Okay. And then the Blue Martini, the bands in the Blue Martini, spectacular. You got the concerts that are there as well. It's just a great place. It is peak season. So make your reservations now and get down to the Golden Nugget. GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles. Book your table for the sports book or any of the restaurants. GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks to John Chill, we got some winners this weekend. Astros not a winner yesterday. Lost. Renel Blanco giving up 4 runs. Renel, you can't give up 4 runs. You can't. Okay? How are you going to win a game here? I mean, we ain't scoring more than in one inning. We're hitting 2 homers in one inning, and that's it. That's all we're doing. So you can't give up 4 runs. That's on Blanco. This is on him. Okay? You can't give up 4 runs on a game. That's ridiculous. Not if you're our ace. You're not if you're going to win our Cy Young.
It's not on Blanco. Did you see the 3-2 pitch in the top of the 5th? That was clearly a strike. That the umpire, that's a ball. That would have been the second out of the inning. the Cardinals sacrificed the guy, or maybe tried to bunt for a base hit, turned into a sacrifice, then they hit a couple balls.
Did he tap his head to get the replay?
That was a clear strike. I don't know what the umpire was looking at. It was a 3-2 pitch. It would have been the second out, and then it led to the big inning. I'm going to blame ump incompetence, not Blanco. Leave my guy alone.
I'm sorry, but...
That was a clear strike. It wasn't even close. That was a terrible call. You're gonna put that on my guy? Learn the game, John.
Here's the deal is they, you know, they lose and now they're going out on the road and we'll see what happens.
You're really down on the team.
I'm really down. I wanted a sweep there. I mean, just do me one favor. Just do me one favor.
They've done you a lot of favors over the course of the last 8 years or so. You've enjoyed a lot of great Astros baseball.
I really kind of have. I really have.
I mean, if this is a year where they disappoint 1 out of 9, okay.
I don't deserve to win a title this year.
You definitely don't.
This is not my year, so I'm not going to wait for a Astros championship this year. I recognize that I deserve for my players to have some Tommy Johns. It's been a good run. My starting pitcher is getting older. 41-year-olds don't usually lead the charge to a World Series. And I just, you know, I hope that this is the end of the Tommy John run. I hope that there's no more. Fromber, don't want him to get a Tommy John. But lefties don't get Tommy Johns. It's a scientific fact. It's only a right-hand disease. And so...
Except Tommy John was lefty, but...
But you got to go back into, like, when did he have that surgery? Like, 81?
Yeah.
Oh, so we got to go, oh, no big deal.
Oh, no.
Let's go back 43 years.
I think other lefties have had it.
Just name me one.
Did Kershaw?
Yeah, I think he may have that.
Yeah,
I think he did have a Tommy John, as a matter of
pretty
fact.
Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he's lefty.
It's like two ever.
I'm pretty sure he's lefty now. Or maybe he just turned to lefty at the time. I don't know. Or maybe he had it on his right arm. Brian Windhorst, you thought he had a fresh cut there. I don't know.
Yeah, he does. He's got a fresh haircut.
He's a big guy. Big guy.
What is this, new?
No.
Yeah, and he got a fresh haircut.
Brian Windhorst is a big guy.
ESPN has done the last 2 hours on Dan Hurley.
Yeah. The finals are tonight, by the way.
Oh, my.
Haven't seen anything about it.
Nothing. Just about the Lakers and Dan Hurley. Woj is reporting that they're targeting Dan Hurley as the Lakers are targeting Dan Hurley as their next head coach. I mean, goodness gracious. Just say it and then let's move on.
No, it's their guy breaking news because Shams, the day before, is saying that J.J. Redick's getting the job. And then J.J. was on a podcast and he talked about it. And he was like, I'm focused on the finals. That report will be addressed after the season's over, which made people think, oh, yep, that's J.J.'s job. So this is their time to shine. Their guy appears to have the win. Of course, Dan Hurley can say no, and they could just hire J.J. But right now, it's their day. The best coach in college basketball could be the Lakers coach. So they got to talk about it.
Well, I think it's a much better move for him. J.J. is just another guy that LeBron's going to get fired. You know, that's it.
And it'll be a real, real accomplishment for LeBron to get that done when he probably will play one more year. How many years does he have left?
Playing for the Lakers, maybe two.
And he can get J.J. fired in that short of time. It'll be a credit to him. We played the Woj sound earlier, and it's very serious, like the Lakers are actually operating in a real fashion. You know, they want a developmental coach because of what he did at UConn. They know that counting on stars isn't the greatest way to go about building a team. And then at the very end of Woj's comment, he goes, oh, yeah, be great for Bronny, too. Then it became a little less serious. That was a very unserious part of the discussion. What could he do for Bronny James? What? Who cares?
They have the 55th pick.
Talking about a second-round pick.
A
low second-round pick and what the coach could do for him. That was a very unserious part of the discussion. Well, you hired Dan Hurley, and what could he possibly do for this guy who probably shouldn't get drafted?
Shouldn't be in the league.
Yeah, but that's the reality with Nepo Bronny. You have to.
Like, if the Lakers are serious and the Dan Hurley thing makes you think they're serious, you say, look, LeBron, it's a low pick, but there's a better player on the board. If Bronny wants to come in as an undrafted guy and work out, we'll do that. But we're not guaranteeing him a spot, a draft pick, and then signing him to a deal because Rich Paul says so. Beat it.
LeBron runs the Lakers. You don't run the Lakers.
I'm just telling you, the Dan Hurley thing is serious. The Bronny stuff and catering to that particular aspect of it, unserious. Maybe Woj is just riffing. Who knows?
No.
No.
He wants to beat Shams.
No, I'm talking about the Bronny stuff.
No,
but that's what TV. You do that for TV.
Well, is there a deal in place where the Lakers are telling LeBron
I guess
for second rounder?
You could sell it as, hey, it's a 55th pick overall, whatever. We'll toss something your way. I guess that's what you do.
Well, I think by this Dan Hurley hire, they're telling him Dan Hurley is the future of the program and you're not really.
And as I said, LeBron was very complimentary of Dan Hurley, so they do know at least he likes him as a coach. Whether he likes him as his coach, we'd have to find out once the season started.
Right. Yeah. While y'all have been talking about Bronny, typical of
you. What have you been doing?
I've looked at every player who has had a Tommy John surgery. 102 lefties have had the surgery.
That seems like a lot.
299 right-handers have had it. So while you think I'm bullcorning you, 75%.
Aren't there more starting right-handers or just right-handers overall?
Yes.
Isn't that part of the equation, too?
We're not looking at that.
Okay. Context might help.
Right.
We're not looking at that. Is it 75% right-hand?
Probably close to that.
Maybe. Because 75%, it's a 3-to-1 ratio of righty to lefty.
Did I just submarine your whole argument?
Well, and only two non that I can find. Zach Cozart and Gleyber Torres are the only two non pitchers to have.
Well, Britton and Bryce Harper, did he have it? I'm pretty sure Bryce Harper had it.
Did Bryce Harper have that too? Let me look here. Does he throw left-handed? Oh, you know what? Yeah, you may be right here. Let me see. Where's my lefties? I don't think Bryce Harper had it.
Uh-huh. He does. He did have Tommy John.
Yeah, he had Tommy John.
Huh.
And that's why he's DHing. Here.
Well, he's not a pitcher, so is that why he's not listed?
Well, Gleyber Torres is in there. Did you know Mike Hampton had a...
Did he?
Do you remember that?
Mike Hampton got a $100 million deal from Colorado.
Yeah, Mike Hampton had one.
I'm worried about Mike Hampton
in 2005.
Right now.
No. But when I looked at this, because Wikipedia's got an entire list of all the players who have had it, I mean, bro, you can't find that surgery unless they just weren't. I mean, it is almost all in the 2000s. There's Joe Hesketh had one in 1981. That had to be some of the earliest stages. You have some guys in 98 and 99. Here's Jim Morse. They've got him listed at lefty. Hold up.
Okay. This is always good when you read lists.
It's a different Jim Morse.
I was on TikTok.
I forgot.
I tuned out.
1991.
I was tuned out too, and then I woke up and I said, he's still on this
list. Frank Riccelli? Do you remember Frank Riccelli? I don't. He had one in 1979.
Are you still doing this?
Brent Straw?
Well, like I said, Butcher of Bel Air.
Oh, maybe this.
Brent Strom had a Tommy John surgery a lefty in 1978. Is this a revenge
maybe
thing?
Maybe Brent Strom is the Dr. Fauci of Major League Baseball.
Will you stop?
Oh, my gosh. Is there going to be a congressional hearing on this?
Probably not.
Oh, my gosh. Brent Strom
once had a Tommy John.
How much
Brent Strom is making from Tommy John surgery?
You call him the Butcher of Bel Air.
Yes.
Brent Strom once had a Tommy John surgery, and now pitchers who he's worked with, including Justin Verlander.
Christian Javier.
Not Fromber yet.
Luis Garcia.
Luis Garcia.
Lance McCullers. Jose Urquidy.
Urquidy.
Do you think that he's getting a kickback from these Tommy John surgeries?
Or, no, or that's maybe not what I said.
It's a man just out for revenge.
After he had it, he lost his career.
You can tell Dell and I stream shows a lot, watch a lot of streaming shows, because this does feel like like somebody could put this
at the end. We put it together.
Put this together where you're like, you could. This could be a storyline that a guy who was pissed off that his career got cut short by Tommy John goes and decides, I'm going to create something.
Oh, look, I have a revolutionary way of pitching. What you don't realize, it shortens people's careers.
I think he's getting kickbacks. I like to think that.
Well, that's your Fauci.
There's a lot of catchers. There's a lot of catchers who have had this disease.
Do you want to read the list of them?
Sure.
He can do it off the air.
Why don't you do this after Christian
Vasquez had it?
Oh. Former Astro, Christian Vasquez?
Yeah, former Astro.
He had it in 15, but still.
But still.
Although he wasn't,
Salvador Perez, he wasn't. You know, he wasn't an Astro.
We played against them
per se.
Well, I'm gonna have to really go through this.
Well, not on the
show. Probably 15 catchers. Now I'm gonna have to go through and see if other Astros have had this, so we can start connecting.
You can do that at 10:05.
Yeah, why don't you do it after the show today and bring it back tomorrow?
No, don't bring it back tomorrow.
Carl Crawford from Houston.
Don't bring it back tomorrow.
Rocco Baldelli. Weren't we looking at him at one point?
Why don't
Daryl Hamilton had it?
Oh,
Dham had it
from Houston.
From back in 1994, Dham had that surgery. Didn't we get Matt Holliday on the show? Didn't you get him on the show?
I think maybe.
Right?
You know, when I was a kid, my dad used to torture me up at night doing like math problems because he was an engineer and I just wanted to go to bed. He would like walk
through all these. This is the same thing. I'm about falling asleep right now.
Do this to your kids. It's torture.
Yeah.
Read off a Tommy John list.
Why don't you?
But you're hearing me learn things in real time.
I don't want to hear it, though.
This is like an AI learning stuff in real time.
No, you're nothing like an AI.
It's nothing like it. Actually, it's Maestro DeBell. You know what I need? A Maestro DeBell right now.
Yeah, you probably do. I had to hide it because somebody's stealing out of my refrigerator. So I hid all my Maestro DeBell. So go F yourself, Maestro DeBell stealer, whoever you are up here at this station. But I can tell you this, Maestro DeBell, go buy your own. It's at wherever fine liquor stores. They're going to have Maestro DeBell. Even average liquor stores better have it, because I'm telling you right now, Maestro DeBell is the flavor of the summer. What's your flavor going to be? Is it going to be the silver? Is it going to be the smoke silver called the Humito? I know what it's going to be. It's going to be the Cristalino. Cristalino is one of the headliners. They created the Cristalino, which is three different types of tequilas that are charcoal filtered and then aged in the process. It really develops a terrific flavor. Maestro DeBell started that, and then others are trying to copy, not as well, but Maestro DeBell's the ones who started that, and they want you to experience it for yourself. Cristalino, I'm going to focus in on that because that is a smooth-sipping tequila. Of course, you can have it in any drink that you want, but as a standalone, it truly stands alone by itself as one of the finest that you're going to have. It's Maestro DeBell. Wherever fine liquors are sold, wherever, whatever restaurant you go to, if you don't see it, ask for it by name, Maestro DeBell.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is our last segment before we head into News of the Weird. Dell, we've talked about... Hey, we didn't really talk about the game tonight. Who do you like tonight?
I like Celtics to win, but I like Mavericks plus the points.
Plus 6.5?
Yeah.
Why are they so disrespecting the Mavericks in the series? Plus 275?
Oh, Celtics have been really, really good.
But John had plus 220. But
yeah,
this other one
I saw plus 185 on a different website.
Yeah.
I don't think they're
That's
being disrespectful.
It's almost 2-1, though. I mean,
I think the Celtics are a really, really good team. You're getting Porzingis back. You're loaded. You can play defensively. Like, Celtics are a really good team. And the Mavs got done with their series pretty quickly. Is this going to hurt either team being off as long as they have been? Because one team swept and one team got done in five. They've been off for freaking ever.
Yeah.
You like the under today with a sloppy game?
Yeah. Do you like the 15 threes made in this game?
I kind of like sloppy game and defensive game. So I like under in most things. Well, I try to overanalyze it. Just my take is that it's going to be a lower scoring game, and the shooting won't be as clean as we've seen it in the past. So I'm just going to say, in a general sense, I don't think the shooting's going to be great. I think it's going to be a little sloppy. Players will be a little rusty. So if you think that way, then play in that direction. That's kind of the way I always look at things. I do think that Mavericks in six is worthy action. If you want a series bet, Mavericks in six, to me, that way they win at home. They finish it at home, and I don't see any reason. Like, I think the Mavericks are a very live dog in this series. Luka's playing phenomenal. Kyrie is a completely different player. I read a great article on The Ringer. I'm trying to get the author on, but he talked about, you know, Kyrie, the villain to Kyrie, and he talked about how it went down, and Kyrie discussed how things were different. He didn't handle things the way he should have in Boston, why he's different, how he's different. And one thing that was noticeably absent from the article I read was that Kyrie didn't really at any point take responsibility for the goofy stuff. Like, I'm not saying he didn't take responsibility, but he didn't in the form of a quote. And the writer of the article didn't mention it when he was in the Nets. Because I think that stuff with the Nets really bothered a lot of people. I mean, he just left the team. He probably doesn't want to get into the anti-Semitic stuff. That's probably not something that he wants to get into. And that would be, if you open the door for one topic over there in New Jersey, you have to open the door to all of them. And so, you know, taking off in the middle of how he handled the bubble, where he didn't want to play, but then he wanted to go hang out in a bubble. And they're like, no, you can't do that. So then he tried to
it's get too players dangerous to vote to for play.
Him. Yeah.
But I'll hang out here.
Yeah. You know, but Kyrie says, hey, I'm a different guy. I think it's actually a really good story for Kyrie, because he's a guy I've hit on hard, but I don't believe that players or people aren't above redemption. I think you believe the same thing. Certainly, you've talked about a long time who you were when you were young versus who you are when you got older. You're a different person. It's possible that Kyrie Irving, it's possible that our athletes and our stars, whatever they be from entertainment or whatever, it's possible that they can have growth too, personal growth, and mature.
Remember, he couldn't play at home because in New York you had to have vaccinated. Yeah. And it turns out he was right about everything.
Well, it turns out we were all thinking. Well, he could have got vaccinated, still played, and played for his team. However,
he said, "I'm not getting vaccinated."
That's not one that he probably wants to like. That's not one that's harder to hit him for that now. You know what I mean? It's like, back then, you're saying, man, Kyrie's being selfish or whatever, and then it's kind of drifted off, and then you realize, okay, Kyrie having a choice to do that, then you have to look at Kyrie differently. You have to advance. As more stuff has come in, more information, more, you have to update your opinion. I think I do, and I say, okay, I get it more with Kyrie, and so I don't think that's... You can hit him on that behind the scenes. You could probably have that conversation. It's a little disingenuous in an article to say, you know, the anti-Semitic thing you probably don't even want to bring up right now because it's too much of a firestorm in general. You want to bring up COVID, that he hurt his team because he didn't play with the COVID vaccination stuff. Probably not the right time to bring that up right now either. So maybe the writer did a good job of just leaving it at Kyrie was. Now, he also just took off during the George Floyd stuff and needed mental days, okay. Then he just disappeared for a week.
Went to birthday parties,
and then he was on Zoom calls for. Yeah. It was just.
But he's been a good citizen.
He's been a great citizen and a great player.
You're missing all the things he did mention. So what exactly did Kyrie come back from if he's not mentioning all the things? What did he act? What's his return?
He talked about how Boston. He was immature. He went after the young guys, saying they don't know what it takes to win, and. You know, and then he apologized to LeBron, realizing he was one of those young guys too. And now he looks at it as this is part of growth, and it almost got the sense that he was kind of down on Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But then he also later on said, you know, I appreciate that time as fun. And maybe in due time, the real truth will come out and the real stories will come out. So he kind of left it open ended as well. But in general, I just think Kyrie's a great story. He's not. You know, he's famously the flat earth guy. He felt like Kanye of basketball. And you can't really say that anymore. Kyrie is bought in. He's a team guy. He is, everything about him appears to be
a redemption. So what we're doing is, hey, congratulations on shutting up and playing basketball?
Well, more than that. I mean, dude was.
Well, he hasn't said things that would get him in.
right.
trouble, yeah. and he's played basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, he honestly, he has shut up and played basketball, but it was really more about flat earth. Like, he was on conspiracy theories.
Well, we don't know that
basketball's been his focus.
Yeah, we don't know that that isn't still Kyrie.
What yeah,
we,
no,
what
you're
know
right.
is it's no longer a part of the conversation.
Right.
He's playing great basketball. He shows up for his team, and they're in the finals. Perform, and anything you might have done in the past, we'll forget about. Just go out there and play ball.
Yeah.
It's kind of how it always has been.
Maybe he's pro-Israel now, too.
No,
we don't know.
He clearly is not.
He might
well, you
be.
Don't know.
No, he said it. He's always talking about pro-Palestine stuff.
Oh.
But what, so is he, but what about today, but what, though?
Yeah, you don't know if
Have
he's
you seen what
his
he's
mind.
Tweeted today?
I don't know. He generally talks about it in the pressers.
Yeah.
He is still talking about
he
it.
He wears pro-Palestine stuff on his wrist. He's a pro. He's clearly pro-Palestine.
But maybe not today. You don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing today. I haven't
not in
seen
the middle
him today.
Of the series.
No. In the middle of the series. In the middle of the season.
This is a series. Well, like, this is championship.
No, it's before game one. It hasn't started yet.
Yeah, but in the middle of thinking about starting a series. He's got too much on his mind with basketball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't be worried about the world.
Kyrie's still a man of the world.
Yeah.
And a particular issue is something he will.
Yeah, that's fine. But
address.
He is. But in all seriousness, I do give him a lot of respect for, you know, kind of getting
playing.
Down.
I don't know
the
respect thing. You know what? I'm good for him. He hasn't got any trouble.
Like, you don't respect that he's made
Kyrie,
it about ball.
The Kyrie erasure stuff. I didn't particularly have a big issue with what
he
was saying
before.
Yeah,
I don't want to erase everything who he's been. But I also believe that people can grow up and be better person. But I also think people can also decline and get worse as they get older.
Hmm.
I think we are suckers for he's great on the court.
I mean, he's out John's there gotten worse.
He's out there balling.
John was at his best probably.
How have I gotten?
Probably what? In your probably 30, like early 6-10 days, you're probably your best. You had younger kids. You were trying to be. Maybe not when you got
that's
here.
That's what I was.
Probably in the middle of 6-10 days.
I was, no.
You had kids. That was your best version. Right now is not your best. You would say it's your best version, I don't think it looks like it.
I think when this particular station started, he probably was at his best. A new venture. He had more responsibilities beyond just being a host. You were involved.
Does that sound accurate, John?
You were involved deeper into the station than you are
best?
Now.
That was, no.
Weren't you a talent guy? You were monitoring other people's shows?
I don't know. I think I've just been mediocre this whole way.
I will
but
agree.
Do you think you've gotten worse as a person?
Well, not as a person. I'm
this is about personal.
My all-time best.
This
right
is about
now.
A lack of personal
as
growth.
A performer,
this is about personal decline.
He's Wash King, certainly, when it comes to doing this job.
I don't think I've ever been better as a person.
Well, what about as a host?
As a host, I really don't
care.
Well,
it's not the same thing.
I haven't cared for a long time.
You used to, clearly, you're not breaking any news. Hold on, let me hit the sounder again. Brian Windhorst is a big guy, and John hasn't cared.
Yeah.
Well, there was a time where you cared quite a bit.
No.
You would berate hosts for their topics. You would listen to the shows and go, hey, stupid, don't talk about that.
Oh.
Remember when you were...
That's what I had to do. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I know you didn't like it, but you did it.
Yeah.
You would in the middle...
I still listen to the other shows.
No, I know you listen, but in the middle of the shows, you let the guys know, hey, that's dumb, don't talk about that anymore.
I don't remember ever saying those words.
That's what people would say. They get texts from you while you're listening. Hey, stop talking about that.
Yeah, Sean and John used to say that.
Well, I gave them great advice before
Raheel
the show
said
started.
That, actually, also.
Yeah.
Hey, stop talking about this.
No, the only thing I said, well, there's
one, time
one
you
incident
did.
I said, we can't talk about that anymore. Another show.
What was it?
Another host on another station got in some trouble, and I actually stopped everybody from talking about it.
Why?
Actually.
That's what we did.
Well,
we talked about
it. I know,
other people.
But it was bad. Last
now
thing,
I need to find. I don't even know what this is. I got to find out now.
Texas A&M not bringing back the bonfire for the Texas game.
They're not.
They're not bringing it back. Do you feel sad?
I thought it was coming back.
No,
I thought for sure it was.
Won't bring it back.
Haven't they had versions? Have they never had versions of it?
No, I think they just know it's been done.
I went to one time. It's a story I got to tell off the air because there's some stuff in it. But needless to say, I went one time. I was at Tulane. My friend Stephanie picked me up. She came from LSU, picked me up in New Orleans. We drove all the way to College Station that same day. And then I got there in time for Bonfire. To my friend Clint Culpepper was going to school there, and so I went. And we're, you know, we're pretty far away. You're pretty far away from it. The Bonfire, by the time it, you know, after it burns, and then finally it collapses, and the heat radiating from the Bonfire was unbelievable. You can feel the heat in the stands at NRG Stadium when the yeah. fire goes.
Yeah.
You can actually feel the heat
from
that.
You do. You do feel it.
And my son Drake's going to be a firefighter. All I can think of is, man, you see movies where people are in a house and there's flames all around them, and they're, all I can think of was, there is no way. You can't just be there with flames all around you and be okay where you're looking around like, where do we go? Where's the dog? You've got to be just cooking. You got to be cooking if you're in a house and there's flames all around you.
It happened to me.
What do you mean?
Our house burned down when I was going into fifth grade. Yeah. Our house burned down. As a matter of fact, I grabbed my little sister. She was on the getting changed, and my mom come running out, and I went and grabbed my sister, and we ran
out of
the
house. Your house was burning down?
I was walking into the kitchen, and the ceiling collapsed right in front of me, and just flames everywhere. And I was like, Ma!
Yeah. So what happened?
So then we all ran out of the house and watched it burn. Watch it burn.
And then where'd you go?
We went to, I stayed at my cousin's house, and yeah, we and then we rebuilt it. That's what we did.
You rebuilt the house?
Rebuilt the house.
How long did that take?
It took a while. Took a while.
More than a year?
No. Months. That's all. And it was, yeah.
And thus, Odd Jobs Incorporated began.
Yeah. That's how it started. We rebuilt, me and Jimmy Lyons rebuilt the house. 946 ESPN.
Sir, I was trying to sell the house. Sir, the inspector says there is just an enormous amount of issues here. It makes the house, no lenders will touch this.
Houston Safe and Lock. I wouldn't trust us with anything. Yeah, I wouldn't trust us with putting in your locks. I wouldn't trust us with the safes. You know who I trust? Houston Safe and Lock. King Safe and Lock. Derek DeSola. He is the guy. He's the guy that's going to get you that gun safe, that commercial safe, that jewelry safe, home or office safe. You need a safe. You need a gun safe, most of all, okay, so that the kids can't get to it. You can get to it, easy access, open and close, but it's in that safe so nobody gets hurt, okay? The kids can't open it. Highly skilled, licensed, and certified safe and vault technicians. They can open lock safe. They can convert dial lock to digital or vice versa. Change combination lock codes. Skilled at repairing damaged safes. Able to anchor and bolt safes. You need a safe. How about if you're moving? A lot of moving companies won't move safes. They will at Houston Safe and Lock. There's two locations. You've got a warehouse, and then you got showrooms at Westheimer and the Beltway, or I-10 and Wirt. You know what? When you have showrooms, that means you bought a lot of safes. That means you're going to get a discount on them. 975safe.com. 975safe.com.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Orange juice makers. How about this, guys? You like orange juice?
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, they're going to use a different fruit now because prices are skyrocketing on oranges. So,
what do you mean they're using a different
fruit? Well, orange juice makers are saying, well, we're just going to use something else.
So they're just going to call it orange juice?
I guess they're going to call, you know, if they use berries, blueberries, orange blueberry.
They're
going to make it. I don't know what they're going to
do. Oh, no.
They're going to make it taste like orange juice?
Breaking news.
Oh, real breaking news?
Yes. You know who made the $500,000 bet? It's Drake.
Are you sure?
Yes. It's on his Instagram account. He posted his own bet.
Celtics
That's
four.
That's dead as a doornail.
Celtics
Literally
four.
The biggest jinx, bigger than Matt Thomas, bigger than me jinxing Christian Javier's Tommy John,
bigger than John calling this season the
greatest season the greatest Astros have ever had.
Team ever?
The biggest is Drake, and you know that, Dell.
Yeah,
for him to play the Mavericks this series is over.
My hopes of the Mavericks winning and ruining Boston's dreams are over.
Huh. Is this okay to be a professor by day and a porn star by night?
As long as you keep the two separate, don't have the worlds collide.
Can you be both? Well, apparently, oh my God, his name is Joe Gao.
How's it spelled?
What? 63 years old. He was the chancellor of the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. He had to step down because he's also a porn star.
He's
been
star?
Videotaping his escapades for years
now.
He's
not a star, though.
Well,
he's just a performer.
It's always a star.
Not the 63-year-old. The 63-year-old from
Wisconsin.
A porn
mediocre actor?
Porn actress, adult performer. He's not a star.
He's
never heard of him.
Well, you can.
I'd rather not.
Wouldn't you like to see Joe Gao doing it?
What's he doing it?
He's doing it with his wife, I think. But he's been doing it for years.
Another 60-something old year old woman?
I don't want to hear any of these. I don't want to see or hear any of these. Move on to something.
Something we want to see?
That's
congratulations. Congratulations go out
to who?
Donald Payne Jr. won a primary in New Jersey's 10th congressional district.
Congratulations, Donald.
Well, except he's dead.
Well, still, congratulations.
Yeah, he won the primary.
You couldn't win against a dead man. That actually could.
How would you like to be the other guy? Yeah. Hey.
Shut up, Ralph. You couldn't beat a dead man in an election.
Yeah.
Sounds like something an old man at a barbershop would say, and he's right.
Colorado officials have reached an $8.5 million settlement with a woman who was left handcuffed in a police car that was hit by a train. Would you be handcuffed in a police car to get $8.5 million if it was hit by a train?
Oh, my God. I mean, man, that's tough action.
I know. That's not bad, though.
It's good,
not,
but
it's easy money.
To say until you see that train rolling
it's
down
not
on
bad
you.
Bad money.
Can I see what he looks like or his medical bill?
So you just have to take your chances. You can't know what's going to happen to you. You know you're going to survive, but you just don't know how bad the injuries.
You like your $8.5 million when you're a quadriplegic?
And you take the chance.
I
you still
want
to do
want
that?
$8.5 No, I don't want $8.5 that.
Lance, people can see you.
Yeah. Lance,
people can see you. They can clip that.
Don't.
At any point, clip it and make it go.
Don't say that out loud.
I mean, you're doing it. Stop
Do you
it.
Think John wants... Do you want your $8.5 million then?
No, I don't.
If you're moving yourself with
like
a straw?
Don't like, do it, John.
No, I'm not.
How about both of
I'm
you?
I'm not doing it. There's gift registries now for divorcees.
That's awesome.
Do you...
It's
if your buddy
awesome,
gets a
Dale.
Divorce, are you going to send him a gift?
No, they want your stuff back.
No, they might need... Well, you might not get it back, so you need stuff.
So yeah,
this is
you need stuff because she took
story.
It all that...
I've been involved
in
somebody...
All.
Took
it all.
I was at a wedding of a marriage that lasted, I want to say, less than 2 years.
Do you get your stuff back? Your gift back?
You feel like you should. You feel like you should, but then you want your homie to keep it. But, like, you don't want her to have it if he's your guy. You don't want her to keep your stuff that you bought for them. Like,
no.
Hey, can I nicely ask you? The same way, if you give a girl an engagement ring and she breaks it off, that ring should come back.
Okay, I got to tell a story.
If she breaks it off, the ring comes back.
We got to wrap it up. It doesn't involve my engagement.
Go ahead.
And, of course, it's a story being told by your parents, so you never know what's real. But my mother and father never married, but they're close. I mean, I'm a product of how close they were. At one point, my dad asked my mom to marry him. He presented the ring. She didn't like it. And they weren't together after that.
Wow.
That's the story I've been told.
That's the story.
She didn't react well to the ring that was provided.
So he
took it
back?
And he was like, oh, okay. You don't like the ring? Bye.
That's it.
Hey.
Your dad is kind of strict. Listen, you didn't clean your room? I'm shipping you back to Africa.
That's not how that went. And my dad didn't let me watch TV during the weekday, so he had a certain standards. And one standard is you're not going to push that ring back in my face.
Oh, wow.
No. Nigerian men are they've got a reputation now.
Right. What reputation is that, white
well,
man?
Well, first of all,
hey, whitey.
One thing that I found through my studies... Through Nigerian studies
Tell
courses.
Tell me about Nigerian men.
Is
white
they
men.
Typically are very demanding of their children.
These are things you're learning from me.
No, I've always known that.
Nigerian studies.
Yeah. By the way, his Nigerian studies do extend to the Nigerian prince too. He goes, hey. He brought up the Nigerian prince scam during a show.
I just said they moved on to something else. And the other thing I have watched documentaries about
Nigeria.
Did you
major in that at Tulane?
Huh? And I saw Akeem Olajuwon came in from Lagos, Nigeria. okay. When I was young. So I was more, I've been, and not just you've that,
been,
I've
he's
seen
been
documentaries.
Nigerians for a while
that,
now.
Nigerian football players? Oh, there's not Nigerian football players? Yeah. Nigerian fathers want, they're very strict on the, with their kids, and they demand excellence. You have been a huge burden and letdown to your dad.
Well, I've told you that.
You've told me that.
Are you,
he wants you just to do little things like make a just make a, an appointment for me at a doctor and drive me around. Little things like you're a chauffeur, and a chauffeur,
did you minor,
or a butler.
Did you minor in this at Tulane, or was it your major,
it
Nigerian
was,
studies?
I didn't minor there. I just have, like I said, I'm just aware.
Okay.
You're going into Mapesy's show. Maybe he could play his game now since we are
reading off Tommy John. His video guys. Game. Oh no, that's in July.
Oh, that's in July. You're gonna take off of work in July for the video game. Okay. Now, well, don't you wish you had it right now? You could play for an extra 5 minutes now because we're late.
Well,
the show's
it
late.
It involves a TV and, you know, a console. He can't bring that around everywhere.
I'm sure he would try.
But you know what we should be talking about?
We should be talking about Canstead and Dublin, okay? The Killcliff FC, the Fight Club, with, you know, Mickey Gall. How good was he? He was awesome. And you know what he does? He dips Canstead and Dublin because... regular dip with tobacco, yucky, okay? And not good for you if you're an athlete, especially if you're an athlete. You want that tobacco, you want that nicotine in your body? Do you want that grossness when you're trying to pick up a girl and you're like gross with a chaw hanging out and spitting tobacco and grossness? No. What you want is clean, you want safe, you still want that sensation between your cheek and gum? That's fine. You know what? That's fine. But don't kill yourself because a lot of people, guys, it's dangerous. It is dangerous. I don't want to scare you, but dipping every day, not only is it gross for your teeth and everything about it, but it's also dangerous. So go clean. Go safe. 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com. ESPN.